Amen. It's good to be with you this morning. And as we take this time of worship and the proclamation of His Word, let me ask you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll begin reading at verse number 24. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to make the proclamation of God's Word. It comes with a great responsibility, great reward, a great responsibility, because we think about the importance of what we're doing at this time of worship. And it's a time in which we as Christians come together for fellowship and worship, but it's also a time in which we come together to be taught from His Word, just the truth that will help transform us. And we sometimes limit it to Sunday morning, but really, every single day should be a day of worship, and every single day should be a day in which we read and try our best to study His Word so that we become more thoroughly equipped in our service to Him. So on that note, let's take a moment to go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask for His blessings on this time. Father, we come to You and we ask for Your rich blessings as we read Your Word. We know that it's Your Word that changes us. It's Your Word that challenges us. And as we see here today, it's Your Word that builds us up and gives us a foundation for our lives. Father, it's so easy to be distracted by the cares of this life and this world. Help us, Lord, to remember just the importance of putting our trust and our hope in You. Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our passage is Matthew chapter 7, verses number 24 through 29. If you would, look there as I read, please. Every one of you who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had not been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at His teachings, for He was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. It was Charles Dickens who wrote many years ago in one of his classics, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." Really, that sentence could have been lifted from the newspaper, or if you get your news from Yahoo News, it could have been lifted from one of those little blips that come across your computer. We live in what could be construed as one of the most difficult times in American history. We say that, but really, life has always been tough. Life has always been difficult. But truly, from our perspective, we think about the difficult times we're in today. The communities around us are riddled with drugs and crime. We lock our doors out of fear for someone coming in to attempt to rob us. Families are on the brink of crumbling, and there's some who are at those pivotal places where they need to make important decisions. Ultimately, we're all afraid. We're afraid of all the things that we hold dear just kind of slipping away. Now, how can a life be built that weathers the storms? How can you and I build a life that weathers the difficulties? In our passage of Scripture, Jesus was speaking to a crowd that it's arguably was a very tempestuous time in their country and in their lives. Their lives were not their own. The Romans really governed and ruled, and they sent in people to rule the Jewish people. And as Jesus was saying this passage of Scripture in the Sermon on the Mount, He was encouraging them to understand that they needed to build on something other than the circumstances around them. Their lives were not their own. And despite the whirlwind of activities that they endured, Jesus was saying, if they anchored their life on the solid rock, their life would be okay. So how could they heed Jesus' instruction and live a life that weathered the storms? How can we build a life that weathers the storm? We can have a life that's filled with peace and joy despite the circumstances surrounding it. Jesus was commending them to build wisely. And wisdom, as we know from the Word of God, if we establish this pattern of wisdom, we will have a life that weathers the difficult times. Biblical wisdom is hearing God's Word and then applying it. That's what Jesus is saying. As you build your life on My words, You're applying it for yourself personally as you hear the truth of God's Word and who Jesus Christ is and what He's challenging us to do. He's saying, build your life on Me. We need to live our lives in a godly manner. And Jesus, in our passage of Scripture, was saying to the Jews, as He says to us, we need to trust in Him. Trust in His words. True wisdom comes when we apply, we hear His Word, and we begin to apply what He has said. So because of the certainty of storms in this life that we will encounter, they're certain to topple us, we have really one choice and one choice alone, and that is to build our life upon the solid rock. And so there are two things we need to note from our passage of Scripture. In verse number 24, first of all, we need to establish wise patterns in our lives. That will lead to personal stability. In verse number 24, Jesus says this. He said, "He who hears His sayings." Now we all understand there's two different levels of hearing. And hearing in this sense is an intentional and purposeful listening to what Jesus has said. We can kind of pass over a word in any passage of Scripture, but unless we take the time to sit and read God's Word and to begin to find ways to apply it to our lives, we miss the point. Hearing means to listen with intensity. That means we internalize God's Word, unlike how we may listen to our parents, our spouses, or anybody around us, or our children. One wife was in the process of trying to engage her husband one morning as he was preparing to go to work. And he was reading his emails, and she was trying to engage in conversation with him. And it dawned on her along the path that he just wasn't listening. So she decided she would have a little bit of fun with him. And she said, "Honey, I'm thinking about selling the house and moving to the beach." And as he's checking his emails, he says, "Oh, sure, honey, whatever you want to do." So that evening, he came home from work, and there was a for sale sign planted on their front lawn. You see, he didn't listen. Partway into this conversation, she realized he was only giving her lip service. Lip service. Oftentimes we approach God's Word in the same way. We hear it, but we don't really hear it. We don't really internalize what the teaching of His Word says. And there are many reasons for that. Have you ever had a parent or anybody around you ask the question, "Did you hear what I just said?" What they are saying is this. You're hearing this conversation, but you're not engaging in the conversation. What the individual is saying, you're really not applying what I said. Now, there are times we don't have to. Certainly, when we're dealing with other individuals. But we're talking about God and His Word. There is a demand on the Scripture. There is a demand on the Christian life that we apply His Word to our lives. And we need to be very careful, very cautious when we hear His Word. Responsive listening means I hear His Word and I begin to seek ways in which I can apply His Word to my life. I hear the truth and I begin to say, how does that line up with where I'm at? How does that help my family life? How does that help my work life? But more importantly, how does it help my spiritual life? How can it draw me closer to Jesus? And that's what He's really saying in our passage of Scripture. Wise people build their lives on Him. Jesus said, building on the solid rock is evidenced when we hear and apply His Word. Wisdom does what His Word says. We need to build on the solid foundation. It's easy for us to neglect the words that Jesus has spoken just prior to this passage of Scripture. And so as He's saying, build your life on this, there's a few items that I just want to make note of. And there are many more. But there are things that He says prior to this verse that we need to apply. In chapter 6, verse 19, He says, store up treasures in heaven. Jesus introduces this idea that what we do today matters for eternity. Our lives, they're not our own. What we do today matters for eternity. And what we encounter in this life, it matters for eternity. And that is why he says we need to build our lives on His truth. It's simply the truth of His Word. In chapter 7, verse 14, He says we need to bear fruit and live holy lives. That means the actions of a Christian are not just simply the head knowledge, but it comes out in what we do and how we live and how we bear fruit in the world around us. Verse 18 of chapter 7 says, we need to forgive one another. We bear grudges. I bear grudges. You bear grudges. And Jesus said, if we are building our lives on the foundation of His Word, we have an attitude in which we are forgiving individuals. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Last week, Rodney preached on Simon the magician. And he's a good example of what Jesus is saying here. Simon, he said the right things and he was baptized, but there was no transformation in his life. And you and I, the way we know that our foundation and our lives are built on Jesus Christ is there's a change, there's a transformation. People know we bear the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. So Jesus said by following Him, by applying His words to our lives, we build on stability. We learn how to trust. And in some cases, we unlearn some of the things that we have to do or we have done. So we simply build our lives on Him. In verse number 25, Jesus says something emphatic here. He says, you will have storms. You will have tribulation. You will have difficulties. And He's talking to those who are building on the solid foundation. Those are believers. Those are Christians. Throughout the years as a pastor, and Rodney can probably agree with this statement, I've had people who've come to me and they've said it in many different ways. Why do bad things happen to Christians? Why are bad things happening to me when I put my trust in Christ? But what Jesus said in this passage of Scripture, just accept it. It will happen. He says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We will have difficulties. We will have rain. And the storm that he's talking about in this passage of Scripture is such a gripping storm that it's trying to rip the home that is built on this solid rock right off of its foundation. So it is a difficulty that is almost unbearable. And Jesus said, just because you follow me doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. In fact, count on it. Count on the difficulties. Count on the pain. Count on the tough times. But make sure that your house, your foundation is grounded and founded and built on me and my word. And if that takes place, no matter what happens, you will have stability. You'll have stability. So it's a silly question for us to ask. Jesus said that the only person who withstands the storms in life is the person who has heard His word, builds their life on His word, and allows His word to transform and to change them. That's the root of it all. That's the foundation. That's the basis for a life that endures the difficulties and the problems. We, therefore, must immerse ourselves in God's Word so that we can know what He says and quickly deal with anything that dishonors Him. If I were to take a blind survey here today and ask you the question, how much time do you spend with Him in prayer? How much time do you spend in His Word? Does it equal the amount of time that, say, you spend on the computer or spend with friends or spend with family? Now, I would say that most of us, myself included, would say, no, I do far more of those other things. We all do. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Is spending time with God and His Word a priority? Jesus said the only way we can endure the difficulties of this life is if we are grounded and rooted and founded in Him. And the only way that we know what He wants is if we spend time with Him in His Word. So building on the solid rock, it will establish wise patterns that lead you to a life that will weather the storms. It'll happen. You can make it. If you simply put your trust and your hope in Him. Secondly, we see in our passage of Scripture, establishing foolish patterns leads to personal ruin. In fact, in verse number 26, Jesus goes on to say this, that everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. There are some who hear the word of truth, and they turn a deaf ear to the truth. It's hard to believe, and I can't understand it. people hear me, and there are still people who just don't believe it. There are people who listen to you and they don't believe it. They hear the preachers on the radio. They hear the songs on the radio. They come to church, they see the evidence of God everywhere, and they just don't hear it. Well, we understand those individuals. But there are people who have actually sat under the teaching and sat under the preaching of Jesus in this passage of Scripture who did not respond to the Word. There are people who hear the Word and they do not respond to the Word. Jesus said in our passage of Scripture that that's a foolish pattern for life. That's a foolish way to operate. They did it their own way. They were going their own way. It was Frank Sinatra who said, "I did it my way." It was another pop singer who said, "Everyone can go their own way." Pop culture says, "If it feels good, do it." Some say, "What's wrong for you may not be wrong for me." And it all contradicts God's teaching, His Word. There are so many people around us who believe that they can just do and live. Even Christians can operate any way they want to. Because somewhere along the way, the foundation that they've built their life on is crumbling because it's not built on Jesus, His Word, and applying that truth to their lives. So some wrongly build foundations on religion. It almost sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? To be a very religious person. And to have a good moral and ethical code that governs and guides the individual. But it's a faulty foundation. There are some who build their relation or build their life on anything other than this abiding relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And their situation, their life, as Jesus says in this passage of Scripture, their life will crumble. When we build on something other or someone other than Jesus Christ, it leads to this attitude of self-reliance. It's a fault-riddled personal moral standard. There are a lot of people who have good ethics in the world, maybe even good morals. They do it just because they want to be kind to their neighbor. They do it because they want to be good to their neighbor, but you and I as believers, our standards are governed upon the premise that we want to please our Lord. We want to please our Savior. We want our lives to line up with His truth. Anything else leads to personal ruin. An attitude of self-reliance is much of what the world has around us. Chuck Colson, who was founder of Prison Fellowship, he wrote this story. He said, "A poll sheds light on the paradox of increased religiosity and decreased morality. According to sociologist Robert Bella, 81% of the American people, and this was a number of years ago, 81% of the American people all say and they agree that an individual should arrive at his or her own religious belief independent of any church or synagogue. Thus, the key to the paradox is the fact that those who claim to be Christians are arriving at faith on their own terms, terms that make no demands on behavior or inner transformation." He goes on to write, "A woman named Sheila, who was interviewed for Bella's book, Habits of the Heart, embodies the attitude. She said, 'I believe in God, but I can't remember the last time I went to church. But my faith has carried me a long way.'" She goes on to say, "It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice." And so many people in our world are governed by their own little voice and not by the standard of God's Word. So we need to be careful. That philosophy says God is wrong and that the individual knows best. That somehow I can decide for me. I know best. And the only thing that I know best is that I'm a fallen creature. Adam and Eve in the garden, every part of humanity was fallen. And from that point on, everybody had a fallen nature. Everybody had corrupted thinking. And the only way that I can really find the guidance I need is to go straight back to the Word, where I discover building my foundation on Jesus is the only way. There are so many people who don't want to be told what to do with their lives. They say, "Don't tell me what I want. Don't tell me what you want me to do. I'm going to do my own thing." And even in the Christian community, we as Christians, we have a tendency to be that way. God doesn't withhold from us. He protects us from ourselves. And so when we build our foundation on Jesus Christ, we are assured that no matter what happens in this life, we're going to have a joyous, peaceful life, not without difficulty, not without pain, but we will have joy knowing that He's in control. So turning away from God and His best means we are going after the things of this life. Jesus said we can't love God and mammon. We can't say we love God if we don't trust Him fully and believe He's going to bring us through. When I was a child, we lived in Idaho, and my parents took us to a place called the Sand Dunes. Now, the Sand Dunes it was an interesting place. One day you would go out, and the sand dune would be mountain high, and you'd climb up, and you'd just take your breath away. It was so steep. The next day, you'd go to the very same location, and there would be two sand dunes. You'd go a third day, and they would have moved altogether. Completely new location. No shovels, no dump trucks. Just wind. Just sand. Just a faulty foundation. Jesus said that if we are not hearing His word and not intentionally applying His word, it's much like that sand dune. One day we're here, one day we're there, and we have no foundation. It's a terrible life to live drifting from one spot to the next theologically, to the next, and the one after that. Jesus said, build on me and my life and my word as a foundation, and you will have a solid life. We need to base our lives on His word. We need to apply His word rather than shifting sand or possibly even quicksand. Much like the person who builds their life on the solid rock. Verse 27, Jesus says, when the rain fell and the rain fell. But the certainty in that passage of Scripture is that rain is going to fall on the person, the individuals who do not build their house or their home, on their lives on Him as the foundation. Be wary if you're building your life on anything or anyone other than Him and His Word. Because when the rains descend, your life will crumble. If you do not have Him as a firm foundation, you will crumble. Your life will crumble. And many of us are a testament to that. It doesn't matter how elaborate the house is, or how well constructed the home may be, how deep the intellectual belief of a theological system is, if it's not on Jesus Christ, it is faulty and it will fail. Psalm 127:1 says this, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. The foolish man gets the wrong contractor. He gets the wrong basis for his house. He looks to the methods of this world. He looks to the standards of this world. And ultimately, it leads to his ruin. Now, being from Sumter, you probably know somebody who has a house in Sparkleberry Swamp, or you've heard of it at least. So in Sparkleberry Swamp, they build these little shacks, I guess. Some of them get pretty elaborate. But the individuals who build those homes, they know that it's built on swampland. And the minute that a big storm comes, what's going to happen? It's going to be washed away. It's going to be demolished. And that's what Jesus is saying here in this passage of Scripture. If we're building our house on something faulty, it's like building on the swamp. It's like building on the sand. And it will not endure the test of time. We know people. You know people. Maybe you at one time were one of those individuals who built your house in that manner. Most people know that if we're not building our home, if we're building it on a swamp or on the sand, it's going to be ruined somewhere along the way. We may bite the bullet during one storm, but the next one, not so much. It's just not going to make it. So Jesus said, if you're building on the wrong foundation and a storm hits it, the ruin of your life in this passage of Scripture, He says, will be great. It will be terrible. And it will be certain if you are not building your foundation on Him. Now, if you built your life on anything or anyone other than Jesus, Jesus Himself says you are in trouble. The only hope that you have is to break the pattern and get a new builder. You can break the pattern if you stop looking to the world, stop looking to yourself, and start looking to Jesus. Now that we have seen what it takes to live a life that endures the storms, we realize we must put aside any notion that we can do it on our own, or we can do it in our own way. It is in Christ alone, that our souls will be anchored. Anything other than Jesus is sinking sand. Jesus gives us clear instruction on how to build a life that weathers the storms. We must look to Him and His Word alone. The tragedy is that we seek to anchor our lives in so many other ways. We try to anchor our lives in family and finances, friends, fun things. We try to hedge our bets and make everything to our advantage, when the reality is that there is only one real way to anchor your life, and that's to build on Jesus Christ. Jesus said we must be doers of the Word. It's not enough to know the Word. We must begin making the corrections in our lives. The demands of the Scripture must be met. And the only way we can do it is if we know His Word. And when we miss it, we make a mistake, we confess and say, Lord, I messed up again. Please forgive me. And He's always ready and He's always willing to forgive. So when we do build on this solid rock, we will have peace in spite of the storms. So the first thing we need to do is put our trust in Him and our hope in Him alone. So you might be at that place where the storms are hitting you. They're swamping you. They're holding you under. And your life is in a wreck. Your family's in the pits. Your finances are on the rocks. Everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. And you want to throw in the towel. You're saying, why am I even following Him? It's time to put your trust and your hope in Him alone. The solution is to break the old patterns and establish those new patterns. The new pattern is to trust Jesus no matter what. So you have this opportunity today to change the path that you're on. Today, won't you choose to follow the path of the wise and build your life on that solid rock? That rock is Jesus. If you would, please, bow your heads as we pray, as we have our closing hymn, our closing song. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You'd help each of us this day to put our trust in You, not in ourselves, not in the things of this life and of this world, but that we'd put our trust in You. Help us, Father, to fully understand this truth, that it's by placing our trust in You, our hope in You, that our lives will be enriched and balanced. Our lives, most of all, will bring glory and honor to You. And I pray, Father, for those this morning that do not and have not put their trust in You, they have not built their life or allowed You to come and begin constructing their life, that this day, Lord, they put their trust and their hope in You. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. If you would, please stand as we sing our closing song.
My only hope is You, Jesus. My only hope is You. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is You. My only peace is You, Jesus. My From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is You. My only joy is You, Jesus. My only joy is You. From early in the morning till late at night, from early in the morning till late at night, all that I need is You.
just remember, we'd love to talk to you about